Hey everybody, we just wanted to give you a heads up, slight content warning that we do in sort of broad strokes, vague terms, talk about the controversy around the alleged sexual assault with Morgan C. Play at his camp and, you know, the controversy around it and his teammates who we are talking about, Kevin Imaz and May Berenice Maitet. So we just wanted to give a slight content warning that we do discuss that, not in any graphic terms, but just, you know, heads up.
Welcome to the Ice Tea Podcast After Show, the after show where we spill the tea about things that may or may not be figure skating. I'm Netta.
My name is Megan, and today we are very much talking about figure skating, perhaps more so than we ever have on this after show.
Too much figure skating?
In my podcast?
In this Christian establishment? What are we doing?
This is our honorable mentions episode because we had to limit ourselves to like podium only. No, top six. I lied. We limited ourselves to top six for our ladies episode and our men's episode, but it was just such a crazy world's event that not only were there lots of honorable mentions we wanted to talk about, of course, but there were also so many people that we thought we were going to talk about on the episode that reasonably could have finished top six and just didn't. So
also, I think just because we've been covering stuff like the Grand Prix mostly for our experience here on this program, we are out of practice with a huge event with over 30 people doing short programs and all of that. Because if you think about it, we've only covered a Worlds once.
That's insane.
Right?
Well, twice.
Well, yeah, but it should feels be three. Like, yeah, it should be more Worlds and it's not been all of the Worlds. And there's just so many people, so many men, so many women. And we're going to try to get through all of them in a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, so let's jump in. I think we should start with hometown girl Josephine Tallegard.
Yes.
Josephine?
I think she's a Yosefin. At least that's how I heard it in the Bulgarian commentary. She is my new favorite. There's always like the one person where I'm like, how have I never seen you before? Like capital S, like seen and acknowledged you before. She was such a joy.
Yeah, she brought like a very specific and interesting energy to the ice, which is like exactly what I want to see. She did an incredible Moulin Rouge, like really, really good. And we see a lot of those, but I really liked it. I mean, during the women's short, I was sort of asleep for part of it, but I woke up for that because damn.
Yeah, she was great. I desperately wish that we would never get another Joker program from anyone for as long as figure skating exists. But if anyone has to do it, I'm okay with her being the person.
Yes, because first of all, it's like, okay, it's a girl doing it, it's fine. She did it in like a weird sparkly marching band dress, which I could get behind. And not sparkly, what's the word I'm thinking of? It's like that metallic stretch.
It was like shiny.
Like dance competition leotard. Yes. Gymnastics material. And she had, like, she committed. That Joker face at the end is, like, emblazoned in my brain. She was, like, acting. She was like, I'm not here to be pretty. I'm here to portray an actual psycho killer.
I'm here to let you know that we do live in a society and some people just want to watch the world burn or whatever. I am obsessed with purple and orange. It's just a concept, I think. We should see more of that. And it's always good to see, like, someone perform really well on home turf. It's always just joyful.
Yeah, it was really, really great. So we love to see that. That was like the very first thing that came to mind for me.
Yes, absolutely. Kind of following up like the Central European ladies, I want to also shout out Lindsay van Zundert from the Netherlands, who skated, I want to say straight up first in the short. And then she held that position and she was like leading for a very, very, very long time. She is Another one is like very surprising and very good and very committed and maybe in more of an even scored field. Could have even ended up like top 10 from one of those smaller feds, which is always exciting.
Yeah, and she's coached by Yorick Hendricks, Luna Hendricks' older brother, yes. LGBT icon.
Amazing.
So he had a great day with both his sister doing so amazingly and his student.
Yeah, he must be so proud. He's like a younger coach, like getting out of competing and going into coaching, and all of his ladies are like killing it.
Oh yeah,
good for
him.
That's
the gay agenda.
That is the gay agenda. The gay agenda is just being good at your job and making sure people succeed
and helping other people be good at their jobs.
Anyway, there's so many women. I just think that women too.
I want to talk about Eliška, who is always beautiful and wonderful.
Fucking
and who qualified
to perfection.
The Czech Republic for another, yeah, the road to perfection continues to the Olympics once again.
Amazing. Stan, extremely hard. It was sweet because with the limited audience, there were like cuts to Mick observing and all of that, which is always nice. I appreciate the siblinghood. Is that a word? The family connection, the family ties that were on display. And also, she just has such a specific energy. I hate that she made me enjoy a La La Land.
I know, me too.
The year of the Lord 2021. I wish we would stop. But if you're gonna wear the iconic bright yellow from the movie poster and look gorgeous and have fun, I'm like, okay, I guess, fine.
She really did prove that blondes can wear yellow, like, just full stop. And
yes,
I kind of think she brought a more interesting energy to that than, like, anybody in the movie La La Land.
Oh, yeah. Well, she is a talented performer.
Her dad always looks so angry. Do you think that's just his face?
Yeah, I think he's just an old Slavic Central European man. I think this is how he experiences joy. Also, like, no disrespect to this man. I'm sure he's lovely and has dedicated his entire life to, like, his children's success, which is admirable. But also, he does always just look fucking pissed.
I wanted to say one thing, but I'm trying to remember what it is.
Just the one thing.
Just one thing. Nope, it's gone. I forget.
Welcome to my podcast. I'm here to tell you one thing.
Tell you one thing, tops, if at all. Talk us a little more detailed through your girl, Sasha Fagan.
Sasha Fagan, pride of the Winter Palace of Sports in Sofia, Bulgaria, placed 17th in the fucking world, is taking us to the Winter Olympics for the first time in 15 years. Roll, delighted. She's lovely. I'm very proud of her. I'm deeply and profoundly hoping she gets new programs for next year because I cannot do the gunshots at the Olympics. I simply cannot. And I'm very proud of her. It's always very kind. I always like put up stories of me watching her on Instagram and she always like shares all of the people watching and supporting her. And it's very sweet. She's just a good kid. She's also an amazing coach. I share ice time with her when she is coaching because we're technically in the same club, but the national team members are there as coaches when we have our club time. And she seems to be very good at teaching very small children to be very, very good. So she truly is like a promising figure for the future of Bulgarian figure skating, which is awesome. Also, I did want to say that she always looks deeply stressed out, like when she skates out. And that's just kind of her face. She's never going to hear this, so it's fine. She just kind of always looks on the verge of a panic attack, but it's just kind of her expression.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah, I was so happy to see her. She did so well. She skated so well. And I kind of wish that, like, okay, so sidebar, like, I can't believe we got through both of our main feed world episodes without shouting out Mark, the cute commentator. Who was so good and just universally beloved. But I wanted him to make a bigger deal about her because, like, I always just want people to notice Sasha on behalf of Bulgaria now.
One of my only, it's not an issue, but one of the things that I wish Mark will get more into as he continues to entertain us, because he is just a gem, and I'm pretty sure he's about to be, like, the new Ted Barton of commentating because everyone's obsessed with him and the ISU has seen it. I wish he would dedicate a little bit more time on the personal narratives and the important stats that are not just who's gonna win, and or like what's the tech content and do we enjoy this performance and all of that. Because like Jackie was covering on Twitter, and like we've been talking, and I'm sure many other people, there have been so many sub narratives of like, oh, this is going to guarantee a spot for this country, or like Lila Fear of the UK qualifying for a spot, which also guarantees her sister gets to go to the Olympics in the ice dance, like shit like that, which is not technically the primary stuff, but is the human interest of the sport. I was like, when Sasha was skating really well, I was like, Mark, just let us know that we haven't been to the Olympics in so many years. I just want to know.
Yeah, and I could see that happening, honestly. I really liked his commentary because I thought it was closer to that end of the spectrum than like the BBC guys. Or I don't know if it's BBC, but it's the, just like the British, whatever. So I thought that he did strike a better balance of recognizing that there are other things besides just, you know, who's competing for podium. But I agree, it could have gotten more personal. And maybe, you know, God, I would just love to see him commentate more. It was just so nice. He was never like cruel or weird or anything like that.
Wow, the bar is exceptionally low for everyone.
I will say, I really hope that the ISU can just, I mean, it's like a mic nice enough for what he does is like under $100, and like that was my main concern as a sound nerd, to just hear him like,
well, also if you look at his social media, he was very much in like upright wall splits for most of it, so it might have been a good mic and he was just like stretching beside it as it was happening.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe someone needs to teach him like how far away from it to be, but I'll do it.
Just position him nicely in a stretch by his microphone stand. Speaking of women, I was overjoyed to see Ekaterina Rybakova's 80s Godfather dress return, because I think it's the best dress.
Yeah, she's, I mean, the Godfather is a weird choice and she continues to really sell it. I wonder how she feels sometimes about like Plushenko's school now being like so highly publicized and so, oh, she doesn't skate with him anymore, it looks like.
Yeah, I think she doesn't.
She skates with her dada.
Yeah, good for her.
Why did I say that?
I'm just gonna move on. I'm gonna pretend this didn't happen.
Thank you.
I think she like got from Plushenko what she needed to get from him and was like, okay, thank you, goodbye. Which is admirable, honestly.
Like, bless this mess, I'm out.
Good for her. That's the attitude I hope to have for like everything in life.
I would agree. We gotta talk about Evalotta.
Of course, fucking Estonian legend, icon, and star. I just continue to admire and adore her so much. I think she reminds me of Alexia Paganini in that, who, shout out to Alexia, she had a terrible time. She was the 25th skater in the short, so she didn't make it to the free skate, which was devastating because obviously we stan. But Evalotta reminds me of her in that she is just so good at like a vibrant, solid color on ice. It's just, absolutely, she always just looks so like saturated and beautiful, and I'm obsessed with her entire deal.
I'm so glad we're like really seeing her continue to like fight through and make a splash on the world scene. She's so good. And like, when has Benoit ever been wrong?
Benoit?
He's never missed, has he?
I mean, he is responsible for Daniel Grasso's Joker, which I think is his one sin. But also like, I don't know, he did so well trying to work with like a teenage boy and his edge, so I can respect that, but he did very much choreograph that Joker. And again, please, okay, more Jokers.
Yeah, no one's right all the time. I guess you bringing up Alexia did make me think about like who didn't qualify. I was sad that Ekaterina Kurakova didn't qualify because she skated to Janet Jackson and it was so unhinged and weird and I loved it so much. I can't
even
talk about
it. It was insane to me that Katya didn't qualify because she has been one of those people that's in and out of the conversation. She kind of reminds me of like Matteo Rizzo, just because they were in that one season, the pre-pandemic season, both of them were kind of those like up-and-coming Central European kids with like, oh my god, they're so promising. And then just it just kind of lulled a little. And I was very, very sad for Katerina because she is so wonderful and her energy is just so good.
She's gorgeous on the ice and the judges hate her. And I would have to assume it's because she left Russia, but like, I truly don't know. They hate her. And it's crazy because I've never met anybody in real life who doesn't love watching her skate and isn't like baffled by why she's not a star.
Yeah, I think there is a lot in play there that we don't know about. And I don't want to be like a conspiracy theorist about it. I'm just like genuinely curious because it's one of those things that like you will watch her skate and you will like click through Twitter and everyone's like, oh my God, yes, that was awesome. And then it's like PCS 17. And it's like, are we using the same set of eyes as everyone else?
Yeah. No, the answer is no.
Wait, can I just completely ruin the mood for a second? Speaking of people who did not qualify, can we just talk about the absolute horror that was my Berenice getting hurt? Because...
yeah, I was gonna say.
I have been thinking about it. It's been a hot second since we've had, like, a hard stop, terrible, like, moment of like injury.
Yeah, I really can't think of that many. Like, I'm not saying there weren't any in the past two or three seasons, but none that really came to mind in that same way. Like, obviously, like Ashley Kane, Tim LaDuke would be the one that I would think of.
Yeah, but she controversially did continue skating, which I'm still not convinced should have happened. Like, I think the last time I remember someone like fully being like, I cannot keep doing this, I'm hurt and I'm in pain, is when Nathan got hurt in that one gala, which, again, please don't get hurt in a gala, it's so stupid.
Yeah, it was just awful, and it was pretty soon into it. It was just awful to see.
And it was right before Sasha as well, so as a Bulgarian viewer, I went through every single emotion, because it was terrifying and unsettling and, like, so sad. And she was visibly in so much pain. And also the Bulgarian commentator at the same time was like, oh my God, this is horrible. Here's like what it seems like happened. He was like watching the replay of like her completely fucking her pick entry into her triple toe. And then he was explaining that when it's something like that, the following skater doesn't get the 30 seconds that are allotted for them to like skate around in between, like while we're watching someone wait for their scores and stuff. So eventually it ended up being like the whoever, like the controller or like the judge, one of them had to like ask Sasha's coach if she's ready to like skate out and be to start. Because when it's a low like that, you can't be sure if it's going to be 5 minutes or 12 seconds or like anything.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So that like unsettled as well.
Yeah, I had like other, like I was talking to our friend Jules and her, she like without even me saying anything was like, oh my God, poor Sasha, I can't imagine going after that. So
yeah,
it was just crazy. But yeah, no, and I think like obviously like with May and their whole team, like there's been so much like gross shit happening, and it's so hard to like talk about without saying
that. Yeah,
I don't know, I don't like it when people are sex offenders, and I also don't like it when people defend sex offenders, but I also understand that we don't always know the full story, and some people in positions of power are sometimes in a position to influence other people to say things that they might not have the power to not say.
Yeah, just a lot of disclaimers, and it's just such a fucked situation. And I don't want to say that the skaters in that team are being, like, in any way karmically gotten by how horrible their situation has been, but like between her getting this hurt and Kevin not making the free at Euros last year, it's just so many things of like, at what point do you call an exorcist to your club and maybe just fire every single person involved in this and start over?
Well, I think what it is like, it's not necessarily karma or like a spooky bad vibe. It's probably like stress from being in like an environment where people are at like not only being investigated and stuff, but like even just if you base it off of what they're being investigated for, it seems like there's so much shady like bad energy, bad vibes,
also like
behavior.
If your coaches and your coaches team are like busy being investigated by the fucking cops, they probably don't have the time to show up and be coaches.
Well, precisely, yeah.
It's just a horrible situation, and I don't know how the French Federation is gonna deal with that heading into the Olympic season, especially because they've been so, like, we pretend we do not see it, like, super vague. They have, like, their whole thing going on there. And it's interesting because, like, especially with Kevin, he was, like, such, and I'm kind of jumping, like, back and forth, but he was, like, such a promising, like, danger back in the Horn season. And then it's just kind of been slipping, and none of this is helping. And they do have their Olympic spots. So, like, what? How?
Yeah. And I just, like, I don't know actually 100% the specifics of, like, who has spoken out on this whole, like, scandal thing and what they've said. I know Kevin, like, sort of defended Morgan at some point, and, like, I don't think that that's excusable, and I don't want to sound like, oh, I like his skating, so I'm going to make excuses for him, because, like, truly, that's, I won't do that, but I just, ever since I watched all those documentaries about the gymnastics sex scandal, and not, it's not a sex scandal, it's, like, a horrible abuse scandal, I guess I just, like, am so reluctant to pass judgment on anybody saying anything about somebody who has power over them, because
in
a sport like that.
Oh, for sure.
Because you just, years later, you never know who's going to come out and say, oh, I had to say this, or I was paid not to. You know what I mean? Like, you just, you literally never know. I mean, when you think about the iconic, like, Michaela Maroney meme where she looks upset and it became a meme, and it was, she was upset because she literally had to sign a thing saying she wouldn't tell about the fact that she and all her teammates had been assaulted, like, 5 minutes earlier. Yeah. Like, it's just, I just don't want to, like, step in and give my two cents if I don't know everything.
Yeah, especially with, like, I mean, not just athletes, but, like, in this case with, like, figure skaters or gymnasts, there's also the thing of those people in positions of power, they're not just, I mean, it's not just like, oh, this is, and I'm not saying it's any easier if it's a similar situation in a school or, like, a work environment, but a sport where it's quite literally the only thing you've done your entire life, and you're in the public eye on, like, a worldwide scale, and shit like the importance of, like, oh, you're gonna represent your country at the Olympics. Like, vague shit like that can seem so big and so important, especially for someone younger. And when it's, you keep your mouth shut, or, like, you say what we want you to say, or everything you've worked for 20 years is over. Of course people are gonna be coerced into not saying what they probably would like to and should be saying. Which is not to like make excuses for anyone, but once again, an exercise in nuance, and in, it's easier said than done to sit on Twitter and be like, well, I sure wish everyone was like problematic and letting us know that they hate every bad person, because you don't know the manipulation that's going on.
Yeah.
For a lot of those athletes behind the scenes.
And it's super valid to be, like, disappointed by the fact that all this is happening and that you can't just watch Kevin and May skate like you used to. And that's whatever. But I just want to say, like, I think that whole, this whole, like, buzzwordy phrase of, like, oh, well, I don't want to say anything till I know the full story. Like, I feel weird saying it because that's a string of words that is often used to defend bad people in, like, kind of in bad faith. And I don't mean it that way. I just mean that I think when there is a system of abuse in place and, like, people who are doing bad things, once you get out a few degrees of separation into the people that they were around but are not directly victims, like, then you start to, you really just have no idea who's also being victimized in, like, a roundabout way by association. And if I'm a person who is young, like you said, this is the only thing I know how to do. This is the only way I have to make money. And I'm living in a foreign country where I'm only allowed to be here and have housing and a source of income because these people say that they like me enough to let me do this. Like, that would scare me a lot.
Oh, yeah. That just, the thought of that being your situation is extremely terrifying. And also, for whatever it's worth, we can never know who's known anything in that camp and then in that situation, because horrible people get to be horrible for a long period of time because they don't go around just proudly proclaiming the level of abuse and covering up of illegal shit that they do. Like, I highly doubt that everyone in the vicinity of that rink or that club just knew everything and chose not to say anything. I know for a fact that from just being a person for 27 years, I bet you there were so many closed doors and, like, oh, so-and-so is having an important meeting in here and you, like, don't ask about it kind of situations.
Totally.
So we can never know, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think, like,
wow, this is a fun Patreon episode.
I know, we're like, let us subject you to all this, like, deep shit. But no, I think that at the end of the day, it's just, like, it's easy to look at people and say, oh, they're associated with a person who is a predator, so they must also be a predator. When in reality, it's like, actually, there's probably like so many complicated power dynamics in play that they could have like shades of predator accomplice, they could have shades of victim, like, and you literally just don't know.
Yeah, and it's not on us or anyone to truly pass judgment. I just hope that their federation on a national level takes care of them in a way that leads us to like a better situation in the future for the safety of the current athletes that we're kind of talking about and like mourning that we can't just enjoy their skating, and for the sake of just like anyone who might end up in a similar situation later, years from now.
Totally. And I think the reason I brought this up was literally just because like I think the sort of tone of the conversation and stuff that I see on Twitter is like used to be very pro Kevin and May and now it's kind of anti. And I guess I wanted to say like, I just felt like we had to address it and say like, we don't necessarily come down on either side because we don't know the story in the case of these particular two skaters. But like, regardless, it's really awful to see someone get hurt and we would never want to be like, oh, well, we don't want her to get, you know, of course we want her to get better, you know?
Can you fucking imagine if it were like, well, she has not made a public statement about a thing that jeopardizes her entire existence, and therefore we're glad that she fucking tore her ACL and had to get emergency surgery. Good for her. Like, if that's your train of thought for any person sustaining an injury, and I don't say this lightly because you and I both suffer from different mental health kind of things. If this is your train of thought, please seek professional help.
Yeah, I mean, I literally don't even know anything she has said. But in the moment she got hurt, I was like, this is horrifying and I wouldn't wish this on anyone. So,
yeah, she seems to be like doing better, though. She has posted on Instagram that she's back home in France with her parents. She did get surgery and seems optimistic and just like ready to be healing, which is good. I can't imagine how scary it must be to get this hurt this publicly and also to just like not know how long your healing's gonna take. So yeah, all of my sympathy is with her.
Same. And I really want to see her just purely as like a skating fan come back because she has so much to offer, and I don't feel like we've seen her well in the past few seasons because she has had like this recurring injury that then, you know, came to a head obviously at this competition.
What is crazy about this injury is, from all of the analysis I heard from the Bulgarian commentator, and also I think Jackie kind of talked about it, and also like what she's posted, and I swear I'm about to move on and we have so many people to talk about, but what's crazy is she didn't get hurt on the fall. Like, the fall happened because she was already hurting as she was rotating that jump. What did her in was the sheer amount of force and power with which she put her toe peg down to send herself up for that triple toe, which is crazy to consider because when we watch skating on that level of like this international performance, we don't really think about just the speed and the power that every single person in that top like 40 women and like 35 men has, so they can be capable of just like flying around the way we see them fly around. And it's just crazy. It was just her own strength that finally like made it snap.
Yeah, I mean, ice is hard, metal is hard. If you've ever, I don't know if any of you have ever like touched an Adia piano or an Adia, what's the other one that the ice flies? They're like metal. I just touched one at the Adia kiosk at Nationals last year and I was like, Jesus Christ, this is like a metal boot. So it's hard. And one time in college, I had my hands full of takeout from the cafeteria and I kicked a door because I didn't have a hand free to knock, and it hurt so bad for like a month. So I can almost relate.
Yeah. It's one of those extremely relatable, totally the same situations.
Exactly.
No, but it's crazy because like your feet and your hands are so full of just like tiny, tiny bones and muscle that it's just so, so vulnerable. And it's scary, man. Speaking of none of this.
Yeah, speaking of none of this.
Speaking of none of this, have you remembered on this day of the Lord to stan Brady?
You know what? As long as we're going to Brady, I can link this because we were talking about boots and Brady had some boot issues and that's why she finished lower than we anticipated.
Yeah. And still, she's ninth in the world. So it's not a horrible, huge deal. And thanks to Karen's incredible performance, you'll get to keep all of your spots and all of that to be confirmed at Nebelhorn, blah, blah, blah. But kind of stressful to see Brady underperform a little, because I've gotten so used to her just like popping off so hard.
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, in the short, she doubled the second jump of her combo.
Yeah.
And I remember her getting off the ice and just being like, this never happens. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, it's just a mistake she doesn't ever make, even in practice.
Well, I guess like if she was unsure of her boots and just sometimes you just have a bad day. I will say the horrible goblin in my brain, which adores Brady and stands her and has been standing her since before y'all stand, when she doubled that combo, I did go on my private Twitter and my reaction was, well, Mariah has her triple triples just for a second. I'm only human.
Yeah, I am really glad that they sent who they sent, because
I know.
Yeah, it would have been Mariah instead of Karen. It wouldn't have been Mariah instead of Brady. And we all know how clutch Karen came in. But it was, I understand. Like, I hope Mariah gets to go to Nebelhorn and really do a good job there. She historically has, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. It should all work out and be fine. But it was just a second. I just caved for a second. Listen, and then I was all, like, yes, Dan Brady.
We all have moments where we're bad people, which we will talk about when we get to the men. Speaking of American skaters. I want to talk about Rika, who I thought was going to win the whole thing. I really did. And she came in seventh.
Yeah. She never has a good time skating a free skate at Worlds.
She's a nervous kid, and it's easy to forget because she's done so well as such a young skater and been so strong and somebody that has like stricken fear into the hearts of her competitors because of her relatively consistent triple axel, and then she has the quad sal that sometimes. And so it's just like, it's like this force to be reckoned with, and then you're like, oh, actually... Like, she's a kid and she gets really nervous at Worlds, and she seems to, like, it's one of those awful things where, like, if the same thing keeps happening over and over, in this case, like, not doing well at Worlds after really doing well all season, it just gets worse and worse over time, and then it just becomes this big built-up thing. And it's, I really hope that doesn't become the case for her, but after having had it happen a few times, I'm getting nervous.
Yeah, so much of this is about, like, the... And I'm about to sound so, like, fucking white person who does yoga, but so much of this, I think, is about intention and about, like, how you head into a thing that you're about to do with your expectations. Because I honestly strongly believe that if you've had a good season, you've had an incredible short program, and your mind goes, well, this is it. This is where you fuck up. You don't do well in the free skate. That will fuck with your brain a little bit going into that free skate.
Yeah, I would be really confused too going into the free if I was her and I was scored the way I did in the the way that I was in the short. Because that to me was really not excusable.
Criminal?
Yeah, that she didn't win the short because you have the protocols, right? I know she had a clean triple axel. Was it a clean program overall? I know she may have had some cues or whatevs. They dinged her on tech stuff and gave Sherbakova an unreasonable enough PCS that the triple axel didn't end up pushing her ahead.
Yeah, Sherbakova ended up leading her by about a point and a half or 1.6 in PCS. Both Rika's axel and the triple toe at the end of her triple flip triple toe were called on the quarter, which I'm frankly questioning a little bit. But yeah, that was like the tech shit, and her GOE was just kind of iffy. Several people like gave her like -1, -2, -4, especially the triple because of that toe. But the axel was not, it was not like her crispiest axel, but it felt fine. And I wonder if things began to fall apart as early as that for her. Because if she didn't feel the axel work perfectly, that would have then led to like the combo being just kind of slightly off. And then that would have led to her not winning, despite like the shenanigans with the PCS. And then that would have led to, well, you're already in this fucked up situation. You gotta excel at this. Plot twist is not gonna happen.
I think it could have been even earlier than that, because she was looking rough in warm-ups too. And so if she didn't, I would be nervous if I hadn't landed a good you know, XYZ jump in practice, and then I had to go do it in a competition. But you know what? She's been working with Stefan, and her performance has improved, because that's where I've been critical of Rika in the past. I think she is improving in terms of, like, making emotions with her face and stuff.
It's another testament to Stefan's just absolute ability to bring out the performer and the thinker in his skaters. I don't necessarily think he's, like, a good acting teacher. I just think he is very, very good at letting people, like, think through a program and express that.
I am dying to know what the fuck is going on in Mia Hamada's school, because we have seen so many people leave, and we have seen Oda Nobunari complain about, like, I guess in Japan,
just straight up getting bullied.
Yeah,
at work.
They call it moral harassment in Japan, but yeah, just like shitty treatment at work. And you know, we saw Satoko leave, and we'll have to talk about Satoko in a second, but we saw Satoko leave, we saw Rika leave, we've seen so many people leave. I'm like, there's something happening here. Like, I need somebody to just, like, crack this wide open, because I want to know the drama.
Yeah, I would be extremely curious to know, and I really hope that people are, again, being taken care of.
Precisely,
and
yeah,
all of that as well. Let's talk about Satoko, the most beautiful woman to ever walk this earth.
I want to preface this by saying, like, I really hate the way everyone's kind of talking as though this is, like, the nail in the coffin of her career. Like, I don't like it.
Yeah, fuck you if you're doing that. I think that's garbage. I think it's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, she just had a couple of bad skates. The programs are gorgeous. She's gorgeous. This level of refined skating skills and presentation is unparalleled, straight up. I don't know what to say. Like, at a certain point, there's no level of analysis or anything you can say. It's just, like, a really amazing skater had a really shit day, and it sucked.
Yeah. And honestly, that happens to quite literally the best of them, because she is one of the best of them, and it did happen. I will say, regardless of the technical, it is insane to me when she doesn't fucking get the highest PCS of all time every time she skates. I genuinely think she performs and connects on a level that very few people do. And I also think that she could just straight up skate and replace every single jumping pass with a fucking waltz jump and still be deserving of PCS in, like, the mid to high 30s.
Yeah, and I think that she was the ultimate. I mean, I know Jackie was making this comparison a lot between her and Sasha Trusova, because they both had the same amount of falls and got completely different PCS, when I think those are extreme examples of, among the people who would normally be, like, top 10, even top 6, Satoko is on the extreme end of, like, high performance quality, and Sasha's on the extreme low end of, like, lower performance quality and gets by more on tech. And I that's, like, not even debatable. So
so don't add us.
Yeah,
no, I agree. I'm hopeful that she takes the time to, like, recenter and reevaluate and not be on Twitter at all, because people have stupid opinions, and her skating is better than most of them.
I will say, and, like,
yes,
talk to me about this, talk me down from this ledge. I'm always I'm always the first one to be like, don't just say single skaters should go into ice dance, but what about Satoko? Because she could do it.
I agree in terms of performance and beauty and interpretation and just this sheer ability. I pity any man who has to match her star quality.
That's actually super true. That's extremely true. I,
like, if you could point me to a man who can skate at her level, be physically capable of, like, lifts and all of that, and also just match the poise and class and beauty of her presence, I would say go for it, because Japan has their ice dance spot for the Olympics for the first time in a billion fucking years.
Yeah, well, Masato and Tim earned that, but
yes,
it's a billion fucking years. The last ones were Kathy and Chris, RIP,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Jesus, RIP.
I think KG could keep up with her, but not stylistically. I think that they have extremely different styles, and I don't think that
I just imagine Satoko doing
JoJo. She could.
Hear me crack up.
I want her to be Jolene.
Oh, I'm sure she could.
Any JoJo fans listening, we got our Stone Ocean anime greenlit. Hell yeah. I say we as though I had anything to do with it.
I'm so excited for y'all. I've seen like several of my friends celebrating as if y'all like won an award, and I'm thrilled. It means nothing to me, but I'm good for y'all.
It's the one female JoJo, and like everyone in it is gay, and the villain is Christianity. Good. It's super good.
Do you mean to tell me the rest of the people in the other JoJo's are not all gay?
I meant like lesbian gay.
Okay, good, good. This is an anime podcast now. Oh my god, before we even think about going to the men, I need to, for a half a second, acknowledge Miss Maddie Skizzes of Canada. Precious, beautiful child. Is gonna be a fucking danger in like a season.
Yeah, she went out and skated balls to the wall. The free wasn't quite there, but like, even so, I mean, ninth in the short from a field where we weren't even sure if Canada had any ladies a couple years ago. We had like a couple of really young teens, including Maddie, and then Gabby, who was struggling. So,
oh, we're gonna see Gabby at the World Team Trophy in a mere week or so.
That's gonna be fun.
That's exciting.
The silly Olympics.
Yeah.
I also want to say before we move on that Korea, for, you know, there was all this talk around South Korean Worlds entries, because I think the two, you know, Eunsoo Lim was like the South Korean star, and then of course Young Yoo with her triple axel was the star, and then neither of them ended up being the qualifiers, the choices for Worlds. It was Kim Yilim and Lee Hae-in, who are both kind of Korea's B team consistently.
Yeah, but I think they're both wonderful.
I do too, and I was like building up to say that they slayed. They did so beautifully. They skate out with more grace and poise and presence than like almost anybody, like without even outwardly showing so much effort at like trying to be pretty.
God, I wish that were me.
Right?
I gotta respect anyone who, like, the narrative worldwide and locally has been, oh, why is the B team going? And then the quote-unquote B team goes, and it's like, this is why.
Yeah, I mean, Yilim Kim finished fifth in the short program ahead of Cowrie.
Amazing.
Gorgeous. So that's ladies, I think.
That's most of the ladies. Also, every single woman is beautiful. There was not a single dress that was not beautiful. I just think that women... Now, boys, on the other hand side.
I don't think that boys is what I will say.
I do not... First of all, let me acknowledge Amanda that I do not dream of, and also yet another cursed joker. My rankmate, Larry Loplover, ended up in dead last. And that's fine. Honestly, that's fine. That's all I have to say about
it.
Just had to acknowledge, because I feel like I've been hyped up about Sasha, and then, and it's like, oh, P.S., this man was there. I was pissed at him, frankly, because he couldn't even be fucked to hold his final pose.
Yeah.
When he knew that it wasn't working out. And I just, no, do better. Even if it's just because the fucking gimmick of that fucking costume is that there is a smile on the back of his gloves, and I guess it's effective. Have some fucking respect for yourself and also for your viewers. And like, when I used to teach theater to 5-year-olds, I would tell them to hold your final poses before taking a bow or like leaving the stage.
Yeah, you have to. And if you want a testament to how effective, how make or break a final pose can be in a Joker program, you know, look at Josephine, who skated like really well. Like, she qualified, I'm pretty sure she qualified for an Olympic spot. She made the free skate. Like, definitely nothing to snub your nose at. But without that iconic pose at the very end of her free to really sell me, I don't know for sure whether she would stick out as prominently as a feature of the event. Like, that moment is one of those moments I really think about. So it's like, you can make or break with that last moment. You shouldn't throw it away.
Yeah, I will say I mourn his quad lots, because I've seen it in person. And when it does work, it is legit. I also think it's insane that he has one quad and it's the hardest quad. But, you know, I'm not his coach, so.
I respect that. And I think it just goes to show how subjective what is the hardest jump is, because I mean,
yeah,
you even say all the time that you like think that, what is, like, you don't like the salchow as much, even though that's like the supposedly easier one or something.
Yeah, I enjoy all toe jumps more than all edge jumps, just across the board. I think toe jumps make more sense because you're not depending on your like thigh muscles to launch in the air. But there is a lot of people who disagree. Like, half of my teammates prefer edge jumps, and I think all of them are insane. If you're a skater and you're listening, please tell me Patreon has a comments feature. Just tell me on Patreon if you prefer edge or toe jumps. Because before I was skating this much, I always thought that people were like kind of being pretentious about their preferences. But honestly, I just think toe jumps are easier.
Yeah, well, and it's even, I mean, you could even go as far as being like, well, some people skate left and some people skate right. Like, I think it just depends.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be curious to have this conversation with more people.
I want to say, and I hope this isn't mean, I don't like watching Paul Fentz skate and I'm sick of it. I want someone else from Germany to be good at skating because I don't like the way that Paul Fentz looks when he ice skates.
Germany, do you have one man? Please.
There's another one, I think. I vaguely remember there being another one. It makes me upset because I actually do like Nicole Schott, depending on what she's skating. Her programs are so wildly all over the map. But I don't get excited about Nicole Schott or Paul Fentz in the way that I do about some of the other skaters. And it's a disappointing to me just because, like, I have a lot of family in Germany. I've spent a lot of time in Germany. Like, it's a place that I'm not, like, nationally, ethnically from, but I feel an affinity towards and would love to root for the skaters more than I do.
Yeah, I've only once been to the Berlin airport on a layover. I've never been to Germany, but I do wish their national showing was different. I don't even have as strong of an opinion on Paul Fentz just because I don't quite care. He's one of those people where, this sounds so mean, whatever, you're on Patreon. He's one of the skaters that, like, I would listen to the commentary, but maybe that's the time where I go and refill my water.
Totally. I'm sure he's so nice in real life. Maybe he's not. I don't know. If you know Paul Fentz, let us know. I feel like he probably is so sweet in real life.
Spill the tea on Paul Fentz, please.
I'm sure he's so nice. I just don't like the way, I don't like the way his pants fit him in his costumes. This is always true of him through the years. Look back as far as the Olympics. Always a weird fit in the pants. And it exacerbates the fact that he has kind of a stiff leg situation. And I sympathize because I have very short, tight hamstrings too. But just as a viewer, it's not giving me anything special.
Just if you know Paul Fentz, please let us know if he's a horrible man. Because I would enjoy roasting him more if he were a horrible man. And speaking of horrible people, allegedly, with horrible politics, allegedly, that I will enjoy roasting, Vincent Joe did not make the free skate.
God damn. I look, as an American, you want the boys to do well, right? But as an American with a certain set of values that are allegedly not shared by this individual, I laughed really hard.
As an American who knows one trans person.
You think you're the only trans person I know.
I didn't say I was, I didn't imply it was me. I'm just assuming you know at least one trans person.
Yeah.
You have many reasons to be overjoyed that this happened. Can you talk me through that?
Yeah, and I want to be really clear because this is honestly kind of ancient history at this point, and people might not even know. So, like, just a vague recap is the lore here is that allegedly, like, a few years back around the time of the Olympics, Vincent Joe, like, liked a Twitter post about that was transphobic and also, like, followed and supported Ben Shapiro on Twitter or something. Like, just little things like that that led people to believe that he, like, didn't have good politics and, like, was potentially a bigot. So
also, just go back in the backlog of our episodes about any event that he skated at. We have an extensive history of roasting this poor soul.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I've never met him. I'm sure he might be nice in person. The persona that he projects reminds me of people that I don't like in real life, and that's what I will say about it. But
likewise,
and also, I just, his skating is, like, not the most exciting for me. I think his jumps are really, really good. His spread eagles, as you always say, Ned, are, like, some of the very best in the field.
Incredible. I envy his ability to spread eagle the way he does. I will say, and go back to, like, nationals or one of our previous things, and listen, there is a level of comedy and just classical capital C irony and beauty in how fucking full of yourself you have to be to skate to a program with your own fucking name in it, and it's supposed to be so indulgent and, like, tell this whole grand narrative. It's just a thing of beauty to watch it fall apart. And it could be anyone, hand to God, it could be someone I enjoy. If fucking Donovan Carrillo skated to a song called Donovan and then it fell apart, I would be like, Donovan. Well, this is a thing. This would be a story about hubris in just an amazing way, honestly.
I think it's very much like in that pocket of like when people skate programs that are like about their skating career or about their life and journey, which is I love on Yuri on Ice and kind of not anywhere else. Unless you're like already retired and skating at your like ice show that you already made or something. Like Javi could do that now. I feel like that's fine.
See, Javi could do just about anything. Honestly, if Javi skated to a song called like Me Llamo Javi and it was just about how he's very good at things, I would still roast him. It would be with love, but I would still roast him.
But he would make
him.
It funny, like, because you know he's got that sense of humor. He would do it in a funny
Super
way.
Super boy.
Anyway, so yeah. I love that we are like, let's talk about Vincent. Just kidding. Let's talk about Javi. Vincent ate shit in the short.
Welcome to a time machine.
Yeah, this could be any episode between the inception of this podcast and now is that. That's our thesis statement. No, Vincent just didn't do a good job. He fell, and I was prepared to go into this world and say, I think of the people who have a very high chance of doing well, the only one that I'm like, not super behind is Vincent. And then he didn't even qualify for the free. I was like, all right, birthday present, a little bit late, I'll take it.
Yeah, genuinely, the night before the men's short, I did, it was either in a conversation with you or on my private Twitter, I was like, the one thing I don't want to see is Vincent on this podium. And I'm not saying that my Slavic witchery is working, but I'm just saying, like, don't piss me off. Also, wait, I'm not done talking about this man's hubris, because you would think this would humble you. Like, if I were in his position and, you know, predicted to do really well and then fucked majorly, I would be humbled. What this man did in his, like, Skype conference with people after that was, he was like, I feel like I have done a great dishonor to this country. And I'm like, sir, respectfully, you're fine. You're good. The US is gonna do fine without you and the free skate.
Yeah. And
I don't know though. I'm not American. Can you tell me as an American, do you feel like you've been dishonored?
I will say, like, after he didn't make the free skate, every flag that I saw was flown like 3/4 of the way down. Just because I felt like none of us felt as American as we did before when Vincent was on top of his game. No, I don't know. I just, his Instagram post was so overblown and like, it just the way it always is. I mean, skaters online tend to be very, like, self-help booky in general, because, like, that's just sort of, like, the way athletes talk, and it's cute when they're, like, they seem to be really nice people, but this just kind of, I mean, do you want to do a dramatic reading, Netta, of this this Instagram post?
Do you want to do it? Pull it up. Sure. I want to hear it. You're American. This is about your country.
Grain of salt. You could probably do this to any bullshit I post, too, and make me sound like a blowhard, but, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Just feel free if you want to, but don't, because I'll cry. He posted a picture of a mountain, a silhouette. I think that's maybe him in front of the mountain. And he wrote, let's see if I can do this, the no, don't laugh challenge. There are some battles you can't win. And then new paragraph. I've won countless battles in the last 2 months. Two of the most uphill months I've pushed through. For all my preparation, effort, and arduously carved and taken steps to end, and what happened yesterday is ... hard to put into words. I don't know if I have to read this whole thing because it's a lot more of that, but like, he then snuck in like a clever, like, I flew out of state to see my doctor for an ankle injury the week of my outbound flight to Sweden, which we like hadn't really heard about before it came into play. It's not over. I vowed, blah, 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 blah. I just, like, I don't know, man. Other people who didn't do a great job just were like, thanks, it was fun. I'm glad we got to have a competition. Thanks to everyone who worked in the middle of a pandemic. Like, done. That's all you have to say.
That's truly, in this situation, say that, move on. That's all I have to say about this man. I would be interested to see his comeback because he's been working so fucking hard towards the Olympics. And this does not look great.
I don't want him to do more Muse. I'm sick of it. I think, like, it's interesting to me because to me, like, okay, yes, this is an upset. To me, a bigger upset was Nathan coming in third after the short, and he didn't say a goddamn fucking thing. And I don't think he has. Like, I haven't seen Nathan say a single thing to address the fact that he came in third after the short because, like, he didn't need to.
I mean, in the press Zooms after the short, he was just kind of like, yeah, this is not great. I'll do better. And then he did. And that was it. It was never like, I have done a great dishonor to everyone who has ever been in my presence. Like,
It's that thing of over-apologizing that centers you. Like, I would hesitate to use this example with anybody else, but I'm okay with it because it's Vincent. But it's like kind of a similar vibe as when you misgender somebody and then you apologize yes. so much that it's like upsetting to the trans person in a way that it wouldn't have been otherwise. I mean, I can't speak to that, but just from what I understand.
Let me speak on that. All right. Hi, cis people who are listening. Thank you so much for supporting us and keeping the lights on in our metaphorical studio. If you ever misgender anyone, if you use the wrong pronouns for anyone or slip up and say a name that they no longer use or anything like that, what you say is, my bad, I meant Annie is awesome and she told me that blah 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 blah. What we don't want to hear is, oh my god, I'm such a piece of shit, I've been working so hard, I swear I'm not transphobic, it's just been so hard because Annie and I have been friends for 25 years and blah blah blah. We don't want to hear that. This puts the trans person in your life in a position where they have to not only accept your apology but also forgive you for something that you should honestly be working on in your own free time. Don't make marginalized people forgive you for your transgressions. Just like do better and learn. And honestly, if you just kind of skate by, welcome to a skating podcast, if you skate by whichever slip up and mistake, just let the trans person in your life know that your brain has already caught up to this mistake and it's not a mistake that you willingly accept in your thoughts and your conversations when the trans people in your life are not present.
Yeah, and this truly has like nothing to do with Vincent, but I also feel okay devoting airtime I was going to use for him to something more important that benefits the trans community.
To trans rights.
Yeah, ceding the floor to like a trans person to talk about trans rights is better. So yeah, that's all I have to say about that. I was like, yeah, I don't have to watch another Vincent screen. Oh, my bad. Sorry.
Honestly, same. Megan, I have horrible news. We're in an hour and there's so many men.
All right, let's be like really brief. Let's say like one or two sentences about these people. Alexei Bichenko.
Welcome to Men Challenge. Alexei Bichenko, I hate that you said, let's say like one or two sentences. My brain registered that as let's just say one word like they do in like BuzzFeed interviews or like say one word about your castmates. You said Alexei Bichenko and all I wanted to say was daddy.
I knew you were gonna say daddy. We could do a one word challenge and then elaborate in a sentence.
Oh my god, can we? Okay, all right, Megan, what's your one word for Alexei Bichenko?
Old. And it's not because he is, it's because that's the only thing anyone says about him anymore and it's depressing because he's not that much older than me and he just like he's really good at what he does, but also it's a little scary sometimes. And I don't know.
The passage of time, terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't know. If he just retires to a life of being daddy and having all of his ink on display. You know, I've tweeted that several times. I'm like, oh my god, I respect a man who's like skating with all of his ink on display, blah, blah, blah. And then I realize we don't know if this is all of his ink. For all we know, he could be like full Chris Evans and have like a full chest piece and like a huge like tiger on his thigh or something, and we would not know. What I am saying is, Alexei, if you're listening, please let me know. I'm curious.
Can we call this episode Alexei Bichenko's dick tattoo, parentheses, allegedly not clickbait?
Yes, it's Patreon. I feel like we could.
No.
Or like put it in the show notes. It's like talking points include Alexei Bichenko's dick tattoo.
I can't. I will say that this short program makes me feel like I'm about to get tattooed because it's like something about like he has the ink and he's dressed kind of nice, but he has the black gloves on. And that's the PG version of what that reminds me of.
I'm about to get tattooed. Nikolai Mayorov.
Swedish.
My one word would be brother.
I was gonna say brother.
God bless him. He's never gonna not be. Oh yeah, and his remember when his brother was doing things and now he's coaching him. God bless this child. He's also like so much taller than his brother.
I would have been so stoked. I would have been so fucking stoked if Alexander Mayorov came out at the fucking gala and did something buck wild. I was really banking on it.
And he did not, which is devastating.
It's nice that he didn't want to show up his brother like that, but
yeah, but still,
but what else are we gonna get that?
Also, like, it was Sweden. Like, they could have indulged a little.
Yeah, like, we can have more than one Mayorov as a treat if we're in Sweden. Come on.
Yeah, it's a truth universally acknowledged. If you're in Sweden, you get to have several Mayorovs.
Yeah. Okay, Bo-Yang Jin.
Blouses. He wore yet another controversial blouse. And this one, I've defended him so many times, so hard about so many things, including his chaotic skating. This time, I'm not sure if I can. It was like bluish. I don't know. I hated it.
Let me look this up.
Do you want to tell me one word while you're?
My word is why? Like, just why can't we ever have nice things? He's so good. Like, why can't he just be good in a competition? I just want to see that. So, okay, am I looking at, what am I, oh yeah, it almost looked like, it kind of looked like camouflage or something, like.
Yeah, it's like weird, like splotchy blue, and I'm not a fan.
I'm not mad at it, it just looks like he bought it at like an REI or something, you know, it just looks like a general outdoorsy kind of shirt.
Yeah, it's just not my favorite. If you're gonna just wear a general shirt, you have to borrow it from a choreographer who identifies as a different gender than you. It's the rules.
Not as the rules, that's in the IJS, so. It's the one thing I agree with in there. Okay.
Megan, can we talk about Donovan Carrillo, please? Jesus Christ.
Precious.
A joy, truly. He's going to the Olympics.
I'm gonna lose
my one word is a fucking Olympian.
Olympian. He literally takes the ice in that like 30 seconds before he even gets in his position. He takes the ice with more charisma and stage presence than like 90% of the men's field have at all on their best day.
Correct. Also, can you imagine that Donovan Carrillo invented wearing pink with gray?
It's amazing that he did that on top of everything else he's accomplished.
Yeah, no one's ever done it before. It's groundbreaking. No one's ever wore this color wave before, and it's amazing.
I know that the reason people want him to be good at jumping is so he can continue to be competitive, because we want to see that charisma and that choreography and performance. Like, I get that that's where it comes from and that's why people like him. But whenever anyone talks about like, oh, he got his triple axel, it feels violent. I'm like, that's violent. Stop talking about it. I just want to talk about how he's so precious and good at performing and everything else.
Correct.
It just doesn't sit right with me. I don't know why. I know I'm being hyperbolic and unreasonable, but
I want him to be a show skater, but like not in like a dismissive way. I just want him to make a fucking thousands of dollars every day just skating.
I would like to say, just purely through the lens of like people who are like from Spanish speaking countries and are show skaters, like, wouldn't it be cool if he got to go skate with Javi?
I don't think it's problematic to say,
because I'm not equating Mexico and Spain. Like, at all. I'm just saying, like, they both come from small fed Spanish-speaking countries, a lot of charisma. Like, to me, Javi has such a platform, and Donovan needs a platform.
Correct. I think they could find, and I don't just mean Spanish, I think they could find a common way to communicate about skating, besides speaking the same language. I think they have a similar understanding of just, like, owning your ice and representing a small fed and all of those cool things. God, we miss Javi so much.
They both have Broadway leading man energy, kind of, and I think that that's, like, yes, the common link there, too.
I'm gonna cut what I'm about to say next, because that is problematic, because I'm just like, oh my god, they're from, like, Latin/Hispanic countries. Into Heights on Ice, and you just cast the two of them. And, like, Maddie's kisses.
Done.
As, what's her name, Vanessa.
One and done, there you go.
It would be incredible. Please let me have it. Please, Jesus.
And
Christ.
Elliot Halverson as the other...
As all of the salon ladies.
Who's the hairdresser lady? Is that Vanessa?
Daniela and Carla from the salon.
Yeah.
You just have Elliot as both of them.
I was going to say Elliot as the... Is that Vanessa? And then who's the younger love interest can be Maddie.
What's her name? Nina is the one who drops out of
college. Yeah, Maddie's young enough to be Nina, and then Elliot could be Vanessa.
Elliot could be Vanessa. That is... Okay, now I have to keep this in, because once again, we've spiraled into casting a musical with figure skaters. Elliot Halverson as every single woman in the Heights is an inspired take, actually.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Mikal Brzezina. One word. You've already used daddy. You already used daddy, and you can't use it again.
Rockstar. Rockstar. I'm gonna say rockstar, because he just gets it. Also, daddy. It's my show.
Father.
I get to say whatever I want.
Father.
Papa.
What do I want to say? Icon.
Yes. I think at this point in his career, and also his career is never going to be fucking done, because he's gained his Olympic spot,
yeah, like he's
so
going.
He's
going
to keep going. Good for him. I think at this point, he has such a specific brand and attitude. And I know I read him on the main episode about the ladies that if any woman did what he does, she would not be given the time of day. But this man could just open a Spotify playlist, one of those generated ones, and be like, iconic rock songs of the 1980s, and just shuffle it, and then just do fucking C-steps around the rink. And I'll be like, you know what? This is art.
It's like dad road trip tunes on a Thursday. Like...
how to perfectly land a triple axel to the sound of any AC/DC song you can think of. 101.
So back in like the early 2000s, when burning CDs first became something you could just kind of do on your PC, my dad made this like long, like 3-disc playlist for himself of all that kind of music. And I burned it into a 3-disc set called On the Road Volumes 1-3. And it was all like, wow. AC/DC. Like it was all that. And so like, that's what I think of when I think of Mick, is like On the Road Volumes 1-3.
In elementary school, before I was an emo kid, I had a friend called Helena, and she had an older brother, and he thought us all we knew about music in like the second grade. And for some reason, because he was like this precious late 80s metalhead kid, all he told us about was like Iron Maiden and AC/DC and Roxette for some reason. I know I've said this before in this show, but it is upsetting to me that this is now like dad rock. And I know I'm just commentating on the passage of time, but I thought I was an extremely cool like underground metalhead for a very long time.
Well, maybe.
And I'm a dad on ice.
I think there's a pocket in between something being like hip and now and something being squarely in dad rock territory, where it's like vintage and cool for weird teenagers to like. And I think that you really did hit that sweet spot like 20 years ago.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I want to also say I'm literally wearing a Led Zeppelin shirt right now, so I can't talk either.
I'm wearing an Iron Maiden t-shirt right now.
We're disgusting. Cancel us now. We're parodies of ourselves. Dennis Vasiliev's.
Growth.
I was going to say puberty.
I'm so proud of him and so moved by his journey.
And his hair growth.
And his hair growth. His little ponytail. As someone who's been trying to grow out an undercut in quarantine, I find his journey extremely relatable.
He looks like a man.
I'm emotional. And also everything we've said about all of Stefan's students clearly applies to him the most, because they've been working with each other longest. He has come so far from yellow pants, purple shirt, messy hair, can't lose.
You know what? I will say was one of the only things that rubbed me the wrong way about Mark's commentary was that Mark had this little thing he said about how Denis Vasiliev, when he was first skating, was coached by Alexei Urmanov. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Urmanov, who was, of course, a legend, and how at that time the conversation was that Denis seemed a lot to be emulating him. And then when Denis went to go skate with Stefan, he took on a lot of his style. And so the implication that Denis is some sort of like sponge who really like takes the best from his coach. And it was meant as a compliment, but I don't love the implication that Denis will just sort of adapt to wherever he is. I think that he like is already like prone to being good at those same things, and that's why he's a good fit for Stefan. Like, I really do believe that. I don't think just anyone could go to Stefan and be like his like successor so clearly, you know?
Yeah. Also, for whatever it's worth, there is a difference between like small child being coached by someone clearly skating in their style and fully developed person having a conversation with a legend and learning from them. I'm just very proud of him and, like, honestly, genuinely very moved by his journey.
Yeah, like, it feels petty to be so hung up on, like, getting mad about that. Like, and I wasn't really mad, but I didn't like the implication that Dennis's strength was his ability to, like, be a sponge. I think his strength is that he is naturally good at spinning and projecting charisma and warmth and having great edges and multidirectional skating, like, all these things we associate with Stefan, and that's why it was a really, like, a match made in heaven, is the way I see it.
I agree. I just think it was just such kismet for the two of them to start collaborating, because Denis could have been lost if he was just left in his, like, chaos teens. And now he's a whole boy.
Yeah, Denis is somebody who, and we will talk about Jason Brown, Trust and Believe, and I wouldn't by any means put him at the level of Jason Brown, but, like, it's a similar brand of skater who is, like, maybe not destined to be like the most impressive technical jumper on earth when it comes to like quads, but has so much to bring to the table musically, artistically, that they're still a favorite. And
correct.
So like, luckily Jason is able to flourish under, you know, Cricket, and before that under his previous coach. Luckily Denis is able to flourish under Stefan. Like, those kinds of skaters just need the right environment.
Correct. I don't want to spend a lot of time on Lukasz Brzyczki, but I just want to say that he's one of those children who will be so exciting in a couple of years. He was an early skater, I think, like Lindsay. He skated like pretty early on, and then he held his first position for a while. And he reminds me a lot of that new generation of children that we saw a lot in like Euros and at US Nats, where all of them look like little like TikTok princes. And aww, I'm very excited. Yeah. It's very sweet.
I love Selevko for that reason too. I think he's like he brings so much to the table. He's so charismatic. He's such a good dancer. He's got this like, I don't mean this derogatorily, but he has like a Disney original movie love interest kind of quality to him. That's very like old school, cool teen. Like I think that, I don't know, he like really leans into that in a way that works for him.
We clearly know a lot about being cool teens.
We wicked do. Morrissey Kvitalashvili.
Boyfriend. My Georgian boyfriend.
My word is oop.
Oop. I am not a K-pop person. I know very little about like the vocabulary of standing K-pop people. If I had a bias, it would be Morrissey, just because he comes from hell. And I hate everything that all of his teammates stand for. But I'm just so weak for all of his dumb bullshit. And it honestly is because we DM'd once at IDF and he was nice.
I think that that's a perfectly valid reason to have a bias as a K-pop fan myself. Yeah, he didn't do great though. And I think everyone was kind of like simultaneously gagged and not gagged, because on the one hand, it's like always, I don't want to be rude and say like it's always a surprise when he does as well as he does, because it's not that he doesn't earn it or deserve it. It's just that like, he's such an anomaly. Like, he's, like, an adult man in a camp full of, like, preteen girls who are, like, teen girls who are doing something completely different. And it's, like, this weird, like, what? You know? Yeah. So then if he doesn't do well, it's like, okay, well, yeah.
I will say from, like, all of the accursed, like, dance studio, Russian dance studio videos and stuff, I hope I'm right in the narrative I'm projecting on Morrissey here, but I really hope that he is as much of like nice adult in that room as he seems to be, because I think, I don't know, I've taken on the part of a sweet older guardian to a bunch of teen figure skaters in a non-creepy way, I would hope, and I like to imagine that he is kind of that for all of them terribly mistreated children of all genders.
I like that. Hell camp. I hope that's true.
Yeah, it seems like the girl. It seems like the younger kids, both boys and girls, whenever they post stuff, it always seems like he is like the clown who like can entertain them, and I appreciate that.
That's cute. All right, Jinwon Cha,
iconic. Because like Dennis, I think a lot of what I have to say is about growth and about like finding yourself and crawling your way out of your awkward teens to emerge a full prince.
Yeah, like resilience is my word, because he hung on through that awkward puberty phase of being overbooked and busy and growing, and he really seems to be booked and blessed. He seems to be coming, I mean, gosh, knock on wood, coming out the other side into like this really promising adult skater that we hoped he would be when we saw him at the Grand Prix a few years ago make a splash.
I'm just so proud of him, and like his, yeah, resilience, I think, is the right word. Also, I am moved and proud and inspired by his commitment to a statement blouse, and especially to a statement back of the blouse, because no one else is doing it like him.
He's not, and he's not even resting on just like, okay, we have like a cheeky back detail. Like, now he's innovating it. He's finding new ways.
Yeah.
That to me shows somebody who's not content to just be one thing. They want to keep growing.
I respect that, because there is something so classical about just like pretty balletic, like blousy situation. But I feel like at some point he recognized a way for him to make it interesting for himself. And now it's a whole game. Like, I hope he gets new programs for next season. I hope we get to see him a bunch. And I hope he has new costumes. And I hope they have weird backs, because it will make me so happy if that's part of like the whole brand now.
This is the Blousty podcast now.
This has always been the Blousty podcast, let's be honest.
Hanyeon, my word is thirst.
Same. Jesus Christ's name. I have been thinking, I'm sorry, we're an hour and about 15 minutes into a Patreon episode, so I get to say this. I have been thinking about this man's collarbones for a week. More like 10 days at this point.
He's so handsome. It's fucking unreal. Something about him, like, makes me want to just engage with heterosexuality in an extremely unironic and traditional way.
Same. Same. And it's unfortunate.
Like I just want to, like, be a bridesmaid at a wedding and, like, have him be, like, taller than me and have wide shoulders and, like, wow, waltz around with him and, like, marry him. And, like, it just, like, it's, I never feel this way. I just, like,
I want to run towards him across a meadow, like the end of 2005's Pride and Prejudice. Again, with his collarbones out and just, like, a nice shirt. And I'm, like, doing, like, the full Keira Knightley falling apart top do situation.
I want to, like, make lemonade for him and then, like, bring it to him in a pitcher while he's building a deck for us on our house that he also built. And he's not wearing a shirt.
Again, his collarbones are out in this situation. I do also want to say that I was watching some of this with my mom.
Oh, I thought you cut out and I thought you were just straight up silent for like a full minute.
No, I was talking, but now I'm going to talk about my mother.
Good. I need a second to come back from that.
Yeah, I was watching with my mom for some of it. She enjoys watching figure skating, but she likes seeing it not live because she's afraid of people falling. So she likes a curated experience where she's sure no one's going to get hurt. However, she did watch him skate with me, and she went on a whole just spiel about how he just is in a class of his own and he skates in a way that's like so different from everyone else. And she couldn't pinpoint why. And
I'm just sitting there thinking,
it's like, mother, it's just because he's so handsome.
It's just, oh God, it's just, I'm so like crying. Beautiful. This and you know what's funny is like the way that he had a career and then he stepped away and almost didn't come back. And I wonder, like, if who could have told that Han Yan, who post Olympics, who was considering retirement, like, no, if you come back, you'll be the horniest figure of men's figure skating, hands down, like, across the board, everyone agrees you are the thirst trap of the field. Like, who would have known, you know?
I'm just so proud of him and his journey. Megan, Daniel Grasso.
Why?
Yeah. I adored a child. God bless him. My one word is earring. I have a sneaking suspicion that in order to represent Italy on the international stage, you have to get a piercing.
I believe that. I think that not only, okay, like, yeah, like, this costume was ugly. Joker programs are cringe. I think his, for on a more, like, technical intelligence sense, I don't think that the programs he skated this season were suited to his, he has this highly specific way that he moves, and it's a little awkward, and in the correct context with the right programs, it can be finessed into a strength that is like a highlight quality of the, that goes with the music and the choreography. But something like this, I just didn't match to me.
Yeah. I feel like all of this was the one time Benoit has done me wrong. Also, I know I've made so many jokes about like how to talk about Daniel Grasso's costume in a God-honoring way, and I don't mean the Joker one, I mean the other one. It's just very hard to look at this teenager and pretend for all the world that he's not just straight up wearing a harness.
Because look, we've all been teenagers who were like, what if I wore an outfit that really like pushed the limit of like, oh, I'm like really making a conscious nod to bondage gear or like something just straight up lingerie sexy. Like there's that. And then there's like a straight up like bald faced costume that you could just like,
you could get go at to a sex leather store party and in then this.
Yeah. 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 Like that's, to me, it's not a fashion reference so much as like a straight up, yeah, like, I'm going to the leather party right after this, and I didn't want to have to change.
It's the same leather party the Cuse is going to. It's a whole deal. But what else do I have to say about it? I don't have a lot to say about it. It makes me uncomfortable, in not, like, a extremely serious way or anything, but a full adult dressmaker, costume maker had to find visual references to build this thing. And I want to know how and why. Matteo Rizzo of Italy.
I forget. You go first.
I don't know. It's hard for me to talk about Matteo because he's one of those people that I had a couple years back such high hopes for. And then he just kind of... I think he psyched himself out when Daniel came up from juniors.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
And I think now it's like this thing where they end like always super close. Like they literally finished 11th and 12th. And I think it's this thing where if he would stop considering himself in the context of Daniel, he would shine way more. Also, my sweet dear Jesus Christ, no more showman, please.
Yeah, I just, his programs this year weren't good for me, and they had been so good in the past, like that Queen program, and I don't know. I just, he, to do La La Land and then Showman, it's like, Jesus Christ. Like, I don't know. He, to me, like, what really won me over about him initially was that he seemed so, like, nice and cute and happy and, like, had a positive attitude and was really like just happy to be there and be doing so well. And you're right, ever since Daniel came onto the scene, it almost just feels like every time it's too close between them, even if Matteo does win, but like especially if he doesn't, he just seems like bitter and pissed and like, I deserved this and I'm mad that, you know, and that's an attitude that's making me like him less over time. I'm not saying that like everyone has to be perfect and happy all the time, but if you're in a position where you and one other person are constantly battling for the top spot in your country, like be gracious about it, you know? Yeah. Don't have a toad.
Also, I just don't think if we're ever gonna recapture the absolute energy of his Queen program. I would never say that a person peaked when they were like 19, but I want him to find that again.
Why can't he bring that back for the Olympics? He literally only did it for like two competitions,
yeah,
one time.
If I were him, I would
for sure. But
I'm straight up gonna skip Kevin because I feel like we've said enough.
We talked about Kevin enough.
Also, that costume's not a T. That's it.
Literally, like when we were like, oh, when we were talking about like, oh, what if Lisa's costume, like the shoe was on the other foot and somebody wore like just random English words on their shirt, like Kevin did that and it was lame.
Yeah, I just,
and that's the good Kevin costume.
That's the good Kevin costume. The other one is what he did after he received backlash. And the thing is, he doesn't need any of this because he's already, and there is no beating around the bush here, he's already revolutionized men's figure skating. People do shit that he started doing because it's cool. He doesn't need any of this weird side bullshit. And yet,
it really reminded me, I know I've made this joke to you, Netta, but it reminded me of the Good Place cactus meme where it's like, I swear it's not a cactus. I swear I don't have a cactus. I promise it's not a cactus, except it's like a racist costume.
Yeah. Ugh, I missed a Good Place. Good show. Also, but that's worse. You realize that's worse, right? With him, the switch, recognizing that his costume was bad and then just doing another one that's just... I want to bring this out on a very good note. Just a beautiful note. Just the best note.
Wait, before we do that, I want to acknowledge that Evgeny Simonenko has popped up as like an ever-present fixture now. Russia's pushing him so hard. And I don't know what to say about him yet. Like, I don't want to pretend I do not see it, but I have no strong opinions about the man yet. I just, like, I like a Notre Dame de Paris.
Same.
I don't have a crazy strong feelings about him yet. Maybe after World Team Trophy I will. Because he's going. Russia is pushing him really hard.
Yes. I don't know. I think he's interesting. And I think that Mission really knows how to work with like up and coming boys. And I will be curious to see where it goes. Because Russia, like longevity in Russia is such a fickle mistress.
Yeah. And I know I'm biased because I already like these other skaters. But it's hard for me to really think of him as like, he's here to stay and not just like he's here because Dima and Sasha Samarin had, you know, a bad go of it and hopefully they'll come back, you know, and like that's so unfair to poor Evgeny, but it's just, you know, we have an affinity towards people that we've been supporting for a long time. So
yeah, I desperately miss Dima Leave just so much.
Same.
Let's talk about Jason Brown.
Jason Brown finishing just outside the top six. Oh my god, the talk of the town.
I would willingly take a bullet for this man any day of the week.
Just unbelievable.
There is not enough words in this world. Also, my one word will be fucking quad.
My word would be power, both in the Nina Simone sense and just in the all-around sense.
The power that he has, the influence that he has, the international implications that he has.
Nina cried power, Jason cried power.
Wow, the mashup medley of the millennium. I feel like we've talked about both of his programs at length so many times. I cannot wait to see his short in the context of his Olympic season. I also cannot wait to see his short superimposed and like contrasted with whatever history ends up being. Wink, wink, it will be Schindler. And I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be just amazing. I love the purple shirt on him for the free. Whoever thought of that deserves every award possible. It's just a gorgeous hue. And he did keep a quad up on its feet at motherfucking Worlds.
He did keep a quad up on its feet in motherfucking Worlds. Again, Jason was one of the people that I forced my mom to watch with me. I was like, this is my husband and you have to sit down and watch him skate. And she pointed out that completely subconsciously, I did make myself a dress for my first competition in the exact same purpley pink.
Oh, you did.
It looks, if you take a picture of my dress and then look at Jason's free skate shirt, it looks like we're going to either the prom or like a community center ballroom competition with each other.
Or just pair skating together, which is probably like what you want to be manifesting.
Yeah, or like ice dancing. I would fin step with him. I'm just so proud of my sweet man. Also,
yeah,
it's good that he did good because Vincent fucking failed.
Yeah, I need to talk about the fact that in the free skate at Worlds, this is a true statement. In the free skate at Worlds, Jason Brown stood a quad on its feet and Vincent Joe did not do that.
And Vincent Joe was not even there! You know, so many things have gone so horribly wrong in the past couple of years, and I feel like we deserved this.
I agree. Now, is Jason going to World Team Trophy or is Vincent?
It's Jason and Nathan. Hashtag so blessed.
And isn't Cam the first alternate over Vincent?
He sure is.
Because I think you really love to see that.
You absolutely do. The teams for World Team Trophy look fucking lit. Lisa's going, Misha's going, Japan sending Yuzu for some insane reason. It's so good. It's so good. Nam and Roman are going. Gabby's gonna be there.
Canada's gonna fuck. I'm excited.
Canada will deeply fuck, and I'm very, very hype. I feel like we're wrapping up a little bit.
Yeah, we are.
I want to say shout out to our dear, beautiful, incredibly successful, we don't deserve his friendship friend, Jordan, who did very much film the gala, and it is very much fucking outstanding.
Yeah, really like A++, we stan.
God tier.
We also stan all of you for listening and for supporting us, and we are just forever grateful that we get to do this for the audience that we have. We genuinely, like, on our own time, talk all the time about just, like, how we're really lucky that our listeners are such nice people who aren't, like, terrible like a lot of other people on the internet seem to be. Yeah. So thank you for being nice.
Hashtag so grateful. Thank you for being nice to us. Also, thank you for being nice to each other whenever we interact on Twitter and stuff. Also, thank you for helping us support people and causes in need through our Patreon. Also, if you want to continue to be kind to us on the internet, Megan, where can people at you?
Oh, you can at me at Megan Kelleher 3 on Twitter and Instagram. You can check out the podcast I'm on that's not this one, at Eclipse Pod. It's a D&D podcast. Check that out. Netta, how about you?
I'm at Netta Marie. That's N-E-D-A. And then Marie, just anywhere on the internet, Twitter and Instagram. You can also follow me at N_ice skating. My first skating competition ever is in 3 weeks. I'm scared and excited. You can also find both of us at Ice Tea Pod on Instagram and mostly Twitter. We will be live tweeting World Team Trophy. It's going to be unhinged. And as we said on main feed, we cannot wait to see you for the goofy Olympics. Take care of yourselves. Yay. And each other. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.